about. Proverbs is very practical. If you'd like the handouts, they're off to the side. If you'd like to do it digitally and you have the Youth Edge app downloaded, they're available on there as well. And tonight, we're going to be going through another topic in Proverbs. And Proverbs is a unique study. There's many different passages and topics that don't necessarily have a distinct thought flow, but many solid teachings through the book of Proverbs. Now, growing up, how many of you, like, it was one of your Saturday morning traditions to get up and watch Saturday morning cartoons? Anybody in here? Anybody? Yeah, me too. Like, we'd get up, and that was pretty much my parents' time to sleep in, and Looney Tunes were, like, some of my favorites. And I think a lot of us agree, and there's a cartoon known as Pepe Le Pew. Okay, everybody knows who he is. He was a skunk. And one of the things that he said repeatedly in his cartoons was he would do something good and he said, hey, you know what, that makes me feel humble, yet sort of proud. And so he's kind of having a mixed message there. But if you listen to Muhammad Ali, he's a well-known boxer from earlier this century. He was very cocky. He was very proud. And he went on record saying this, it's hard to be humble when you're as great as I am. Right? And a lot of people are like shaking their heads. I understand that, right? And I think a lot of us, we can relate to that. And I think, unfortunately, a lot of us think like Muhammad Ali. We're just not stupid enough to vocalize it, right? We know people don't want to hear that. And a lot of times in our hearts, we are prideful. We refuse to be humble. We think a lot about ourselves. And if people don't think we're great, we get depressed about it because we think people should think we're great. And a lot of times we get confused with humility. We think, hey, with humble people, they just talk about themselves, they talk bad about themselves, and they put themselves down all the time. But really, if you're throwing a pity party, you're showing pride as well. Because you're like, hey, you know what? I don't deserve this. I deserve for everyone to make me happy. And it's another form of pride because everything is revolved around self. In Proverbs 11:2, it says this, when pride cometh, then cometh shame. So pride brings shame, but with the lowly is wisdom. Humility makes you wise. James 4:6, but he, referring to God, giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. And what we see in Proverbs is very simple, but it's hard to live out. To be wise, you must be humble. You've got to live your life in humility. Father, we come to you and ask that you would guide our thoughts, that you'd help us to obey this simple principle, that it's simple in logic, but very difficult to live out. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us tonight to have a better view of who you are, that we'd be able to glorify you in everything that we do and even what we think. And Lord, help us to be people who are humble, who don't always have to have the attention focused on ourselves, but do want to place the attention and focus and glory on you. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to be believers who do that tonight. But also I pray that if there's someone here who does not know you, that you'd help them to come to your Son, Jesus Christ, in faith tonight, in Christ's name. Amen. So as with a lot of the different character traits in Proverbs, the author compares and contrasts pride with humility. And so there's often a contrast that's given there throughout the book. So first, let's look at the picture of the proud person. How does Proverbs depict someone who is prideful? And as we do this, I want you to take a picture of yourself in your mind and kind of put it up next to this picture of a prideful person. And I want you to be honest with yourself and say, hey, do I see aspects of this prideful person in me? And I think that we're all going to have to buckle up because we all have pride. This is something that comes out in all different kinds of areas of our lives, and it's going to be pretty evident tonight. So first of all, what do we see about a proud person in Proverbs? Something you probably know, you could say back to me without looking too deeply in God's Word. A proud person thinks highly of himself. He thinks he's better than other people. Proverbs 21, and high look and a proud heart, and the plowing of the wicked is sin. Proverbs 25, for so for men to search their own glory is not glory. If again, all you're seeking is to have your reputation increased and for you to receive glory, that's not glorious. So today, I was reading about a young woman who asked for an appointment with her pastor to deal with some issues that she was going through. And she went up to him and she said, you know what, I've got this besetting sin that I need some help with. It keeps cropping up every time I come to church. And here's this problem that I've become aware of. Every time I sit down in the congregation, I look around and I look at all of the other women in the audience and I can't help but notice that I'm the most beautiful woman in this church. And I look around and she says, "No one can hold a candle to my beauty." And so the pastor, he looks at her and he says, "You know what? That's not pride. That's just a mistake. You're not that attractive." And he was blunt and he was honest, and boom, she was roasted, okay? So the pastor threw that back at her. Now, I don't know if that story is completely true, okay? But that goes to illustrate how often and how we tend to think of ourselves more often, more highly than we ought to. Romans 12 warns us about that. And a proud person has an elevated view of themselves. They want everyone to think about them, the focus to be on them, and not only do they elevate themselves in their own eyes, but a proud person looks down on others. Proverbs 6 says, "These six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him." A proud look is number one. And a proud person looks down on other people. Pride can come through in our facial expressions. I think that we would all know what it would look like for someone to have a proud look on their face, right? They got that sideways smirk, or maybe they just kind of raise their eyebrows at you, or maybe they say something under their breath, or maybe even just a stuck-up nose. And here, God says there is a proud look, and that pride can come through your eyes and how you view other people. And a lot of you have heard this story before. I'll share it again because it really illustrates what's going on here. When I was growing up, I played baseball until I was 18. And I played baseball and I was about 15. I played with a guy who is now in the major leagues. And he had playing against him. And when we were 15, he was throwing over 90 miles an hour. Nobody could hit this guy. So I go up to the plate and I'm just nervous. I'm like, "Don't hit me. I'm going to die if you hit me with the pitch." And so he throws it. And I literally just close my eyes and put the bat out there. It hits the barrel. It goes and it hits the fence. I was so happy because I was lucky. I wasn't that great of a hitter in high school. And I go to second base and all of a sudden the pitcher runs off the mound and he starts charging me. And he literally says to me, "You need to get off the field because you don't belong in the same field as me." And I was like, "Whoa, dude, like, chill out." I was like, "Obviously I do, but I mean, his pride was just oozing. And we would all say, "You know what? That guy is super arrogant." And we would all be disgusted by that. But is it really that much better than when we think in our minds, "Hey, you know what? You don't belong with me. You're not cool enough to be part of my group. You're not cool enough to be one of my friends. You know what? You're just kind of weird." Or, "Hey, you know what? I am way too old to be friends with someone as young as you are. I mean, come on. You're in the 7th grade, and I'm in the 8th grade, right? I have matured so much in the last year." But guys, do we look at other people and look down on them because of their age? Maybe because of their ability? Maybe because of whatever factor it is we look down on them? And maybe you just say something like this: "Hey, you know what? That person is really annoying. I'm not going to hang out with them. They don't belong with me." And in your head, you're thinking, "I am so much better than them." Guys, pride just oozes out of us when we look down on other people. I could go on and on, but pride reveals itself in so many different ways. Do you see that in yourself? Is there a proud look when you look at other people and you think about yourself highly and you look down at other people? Next, a proud person simmers in agitation. Okay, and I'll explain what I mean there. The word that's used here in these two proverbs, I'll explain it in a second. I'll read them first. It says, "Only by pride cometh contention, but with the well-advised is wisdom." Proverbs 21, a proud and haughty scorner is his name, who dealeth in proud wrath." So the word that's used for pride there, it carries the idea of boiling, of simmering. This person is always on the edge, and a proud man is always about to boil over. When life turns up the heat just a little bit, boom, they explode. A proud person is very given to anger, and they blow up. A few nights ago, I walked into my kid's bedroom to hear Michaela, my one-year-old. She was crying and she was laying on the bed, and I mean, tears were streaming down her face. And another child, I won't say which one, was in the room, and they were just kind of like standing over top of her. And I was like, whoa, what happened here? And this child said, she touched my sound machine. So I grabbed her and I threw her on the ground. And I was like, "Wait, what? Did she break it? No. Did she hurt it? No. I said, she just touched it and you threw her on the ground. And she was like, and the child said, uh-huh. And I just look at that and I'm like, such a small thing that that my child blew up. But how often when someone just touches something that is ours and we're like, hey, you know what? That belongs to me. That's mine. Don't touch it. We blow up in anger. Or maybe they impede upon your reputation. They try to take your place in a friendship. Guys, our pride can be so easily hurt. And if we're honest, our attitudes and our words reveal our pride. But just about the cold shoulder. Hey, you know what? I'm too good for you. I'm not going to talk to you. You are not even worthy to be spoken to by me. That's a purposeful proclamation of pride. Hey, you know what? I'm not going to talk to you. What about the explosion? We're here and we're like, you know what? I am more important than you, and what I have to say is more important than your feelings. You're going to hear it because I'm more important. And I don't care if it hurts you. And we don't really think about that when we're exploding in anger, but if we think about it, it is such an evidence of pride. When I find myself on edge, that I'm always simmering in agitation, that every little thing kind of affects me, one thing I'd advise to you guys, examine the rest of your spiritual life. Is there something off somewhere else? Because I will often find that I have something that I have not confessed to God, or something that is one of those hidden sins that even is I'm blind to, that I don't see, and I've got to get that right with God. And that's really been eating away at my conscience and my heart, and I'm just, that pride can ooze out so quickly. Time doesn't permit us to spend a lot of time on this next one, but I wanted to show it to you because I found it interesting. We don't have a lot of time, but a proud person disrespects their parents. Proverbs 30:11 says this, "There's a generation that curseth their father and doth not bless their mother. There's a generation that are pure in their own eyes. They think they've got it all together. They think that they have it all figured out and yet is not washed from their filthiness." They're doing what they know is wrong, but in their own eyes, hey, you know what, I'm right. There's a generation, oh, how lofty are their eyes, and their eyelids are lifted up. So guys, in this passage, we see children who think that they know better than their parents. There's pride there. They think they know better than their other authorities. They have lofty eyes. They think that they know better than everyone else in their life. Does your attitude and reactions to your parents and to your other authorities, do they display pride? What about after they make a decision? And you go back to your friend and you doubt their decision. I know better than them. They shouldn't do that. Guys, that is a display of pride. And we don't have time to park there. Because we're going to move on to the predicament of the proud person. There is problems that come to people who are prideful. God resists the proud person. Proverbs 8, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogancy, and the evil way and the froward mouth do I hate. God says, I hate pride. Proverbs 15, the Lord will destroy the house of the proud, but he will establish the border of the widow. Guys, this is part of God resisting the proud. Sometimes he has to destroy our possessions to get our attention. Sometimes he has to chasten us to bring us back to a place of humility. And he wants us to be close to him. And in James 4:6, he says, but he giveth more grace. Speaking about God. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. And I never want it said of me, hey, you know what? God is resisting him. And I never want to be able to tell, you know what? Everything I'm trying to accomplish for the Lord, God is resisting me because I have pride in my heart and I'm doing it for myself. Warren Wiersbe said this in his commentary. God wants you to depend on his grace. Satan wants you to depend on him, on yourself. God wants you to depend on his grace while Satan wants you to depend on yourself. God wants to give you grace. But when we're trusting in ourselves, we're headed for trouble. And when I think of the word resist, the picture that always comes to my mind is I think of a football player using a stiff arm. Has anybody ever seen like a running back and they just stick their arm out and all of a sudden a defender, they just like throw to the ground? I was watching a game a couple days ago. A running back literally grabbed a guy's face and just threw him to the side, kept running. He threw him so hard to the ground, he bounced back up. And I was like, whoa. And The word resist means to oppose. Guys, God opposes you when you are proud. So that picture that comes to my mind, I am pridefully running in my own direction, and I am going one way, and all of a sudden God has to chasten me, and He opposes me, and He just says, stop. What you're trying to do in your own strength, it's not going to happen. No. And guys, even if it's a good thing, if I'm doing it in pride, God resists and opposes those who are doing it in their own strength. But also, problems that come to prideful people, the proud person falls. They fall into sin. Proverbs 16:18, pride goeth before destruction, and an haughty spirit before a fall. During the Battle of the Wilderness, during the Civil War, there was a Civil War general. He was known, his name was John Sedgwick. He was inspecting inspecting his troops. And as he was going by, he came into an opening of one of their bunkers where they would get down and they would take their guns and shoot towards the enemy. And he was just kind of nonchalantly walking in front of it. And his soldier said, sir, you really want to be careful. They might hit you. And he said, nonsense. They couldn't hit an elephant at this distance. And he got killed. His pride thought that he could just walk around. He was not estimating his enemy as strong as they were. And guys, so often we underestimate Satan's power to deceive us. And we think that, hey, you know what? That sin, I'm not going to struggle with it. I've got my defenses up against it enough. And hey, we may even think that this sin that we are already committing, it's not going to affect me. Guys, there's a fall coming. If you think you can handle it when no one else can, and God's word says it is sin, you are wrong. And God warns you, beware, because there is a fall coming. Because there's a guard down. You've taken your guard down, you think, yeah, you know what, I've got this. And Satan sees that weakness, and he sends temptations your way, and you are not guarding or protecting yourself. So practical application for us, guys, when your parents set up protections for you, internet, curfew, dating, chores, rules in general, you ought to be thankful for that. And oftentimes when this comes up, people will say to me, hey, Pastor Brandon, does that mean you don't trust me? Or, hey, if my parents set up all these guidelines, that means they don't trust me. And you know what I'm going to tell my kids when they get old enough to question me about stuff like this? You're right. I don't. But you're not going to say after that, I don't trust myself. And I don't trust the flesh. Guys, the flesh, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And the Bible says in 1 John chapter 6, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Satan is walking about as a roaring lion. I cannot trust myself to be more powerful than Satan. He is walking about trying to destroy us. I don't trust the flesh. And the moment that I do, I'm going to be in trouble. The proud person also will have constant conflict. There will be constant strife in a proud person's life. Proverbs 13:10, only by pride cometh contention, but with the well-advised is wisdom. So what does this verse say is the only source, is the only place that conflict comes from? Somebody give an answer. This verse tells me conflict comes from, yes, pride. And read it again. Only by pride comes contention. Where there is fighting, there is pride. Where there is fighting, there is pride. And I know it goes both ways, but there is pride somewhere when there is fighting. And there will be constant conflict in the life of someone who's proud. There's strife. In 1986, two ships collided in the sea, in the Black Sea. And there was hundreds of people aboard these two ships, and they come to find out that hundreds of them got thrown overboard into the cold, icy water, and hundreds of these people that were on these boats died. They launched an investigation onto what caused the source of that crash. They found out that it wasn't the instruments. There was nothing wrong with it. There was no fog that night. They come to find out from people on board that what happened was the two captains were stubborn. They knew that the other ship was there, but they refused to change course. And they played a deadly game of chicken, and a lot of people died. How many of us in our lives are exactly like those captains? We are walking through life, and we are constantly ramming other people because that we come in contact with. Because we are too stubborn to humble ourselves and admit when we are wrong. You never yield because you think that everyone else should give you what you want. You think that you deserve all of what's best, and after all, you deserve it. You're more talented. You're better looking. You have a better personality. You're smarter. They should be the one that has to change. I mean, look at me. I've got it all together, and we refuse to change, and all the time we look at them and say, you know what? It is everyone else. Where there is fighting, there is pride. So I'm going to ask you tonight, is there constant conflict going on in your heart and in your life? I can't tell you what's going on, but I'm going to ask you and suggest to you that you examine your own heart and search deep. Is there pride there? If there's a cycle of conflict, there's pride. Do you need to humble yourself before God and people? Because only by pride cometh contentions. So, moving on. Pride is contrasted to humility throughout Proverbs. Proverbs 18:12. Before destruction, the heart of man is haughty. So before there's destruction, there's pride there. And before honor, if you're honored, you're going to be humble. There's humility. So to be wise, you must be humble. To be good at life, you must be humble. Because God exalts those who humble themselves. Let's look at the prize for the humble person. What are the rewards that God wants to give? Because many people do not like the idea of humility. They don't like the idea that, hey, you know what, this might be weakness or this might be inferiority. I don't like the idea of humbling myself. Humility doesn't tear itself down. That's not a proper view of God. You're not viewing yourself how God views you. It's not like, hey, you know what? Humility does not say, hey, you know what? I'm the worst at everything. I stink at life. Everything's terrible. Nobody should like me. That's not humility. Again, that's a form of pride. But most importantly, humility exalts others, and most importantly, God. So what are some prizes for the humble person? God gives honor to the humble. A man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. Guys, we are so concerned about our own reputation and our own popularity, and we start talking about ourselves and talking ourselves up in pride and pointing out everything good that we've ever done. If we are humble, that is when we will be honored and other people will honor you. Let another man's lips praise thee. God gives grace to the humble. Proverbs 3:34, but he giveth grace unto the lowly. God helps those who are humble. There's no longer resistance or opposition there that's coming from God. God is helping you. When Paul asked God to remove physical difficulties, what was God's response? He gave more grace. And God said, my grace is sufficient for you. So even in the difficulties of life, we can only receive grace when we are humbled. He'll give favor to you even in difficult circumstances. But also, God gives wisdom to the humble. When pride cometh, then cometh shame, but with the lowly is wisdom. The humble tend to do well at life. We're going to have to move quickly through these, so we'll move to the last point tonight. The path to become a humble person. How do I become humble? Okay, Pastor Brandon, I know I'm supposed to be humble, to be wise. How do I do that? Number one, get in the Word. And guys, that's the answer for everything. But read Isaiah 6, verse 1. I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up. Above it stood the seraphims, and one cried unto another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. Then said I, woe is me, for I am a man undone, because I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. So what is going on in Isaiah chapter 6? Isaiah is seeing God for who he is, and that makes him respond by humbling himself and confessing his own sin. He sees God is holy, and we are not. When he compares himself to how great God is, he is humble. Isaiah bowed and declared his own sinfulness, and God responded by giving forgiveness. Now, when I was in seventh grade, I thought I was pretty big stuff. I thought I was really, really good at basketball. I wasn't. But I thought I was really good at basketball in seventh grade. And there was one specific day where God really humbled me in my view of how good I was at basketball. My coach thought he was scheduling a game with a JV team. He didn't. So I go out there with 7th, 8th, and 9th graders, and we go into the gym, and I knew we were in trouble when all of a sudden we're warming up, the lights turn off, lasers start shooting around the room, rap music turns on with Eminem blaring through the sound system, and all of a sudden introduced are these man-child after man-child with full-grown beards, and they come out, and they're like 6'6", 6'7", and I'm this little 7th grade kid, and I'm like, whoa. We're going to get destroyed. I lost count of how many times I got dunked on and then laughed at as a seventh grader in junior high. I was humiliated that day and humbled by losing 76-6. It was a bloodbath. And guys, I realized that I was not such big stuff in comparison to those basketball players. And that is a very small illustration of what's going on here spiritually. When we go to God's Word, and constantly throughout God's Word, we are encountered with His holiness, excuse me, and with His greatness. And you will respond with humility and bowing before Him and saying, I am a man undone. Guys, you need to spend time in God's Word. That is the only way you're going to be humble. If you struggle with pride, and we all do, you need the Bible to put you in your rightful place. Because so often we try to lift ourselves up and we think more highly of ourselves than we ought to think. But number two, how do we become a humble person? Get on your knees. And this comes straight from 1 Peter 5. He says, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. And here's what he says, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. So there's a command that we have got to humble ourselves. And then He gives us a way that we can. How do we do that? You've got to cast all your care upon Him. Because He cares for you. And most of us are familiar with the prayer of the Pharisee in Luke chapter 18. This Pharisee is standing up, and pretty much the only topic of conversation between him and God is how righteous he himself is. It has nothing to do with God. Then he compares himself to the tax collector and says, God, thank you that I'm not like that. Ultimate picture of pride. But he was not really praying to God. And we are not as vocal as the Pharisee in Luke 18, but when we neglect to take our needs and our desires and our relationship to the Lord, guys, that's a symptom of pride. We're basically saying to God, God, I got this. I don't need you. I can handle this myself. Humble yourselves by casting all your care upon Him, because He cares for you. To be wise, you must be humble. Proverbs gives us a very clear picture of what prideful people look like, and then God clearly warns us about all of the problems that will come to you if you live your life consistently in pride. But then He promises, not just suggests, He promises that He will give grace and wisdom to those who humble themselves before Him. So some of you tonight might need to get on this path to become humble for the first time, or maybe you need to come back to it. I encourage you, you need to be humble. To be wise, you must be humble. Father, we come to You, and we are humbled that we can even come before Your presence. It's not by any works of righteousness which we have done. It's according to Your mercy that You've saved us. And it's only through Jesus Christ that we can have access to You. And Lord, we thank